At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm in a hoodie. It's 91 degrees in Manhattan. I drove in from Long Island. I didn't realize now at the eastern tip of Long Island, it's cool at night and people have hoodies on. And I figured that would be okay. But apparently I got in here and it's 91. Pavel Durov, the CEO of Telegram, arrested in France, released but not allowed to leave France. 39-year-old Russian billionaire detained over charges that his messaging app is used for criminal activity, including child abuse, images, amongst other things. I don't use Telegram. Wait, am I on Telegram? Let me check. Someone made me... I'm on Signal. Someone made me download Signal because it was like we're going to talk on Signal. And then this person just sends me memes on Signal. Like, there's no, I thought it was, I was going to get like cool, like inside info. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'll download Signal, which by the way, the NSA, they can all read all of this. But I was like, fuck yeah, I'll download Signal. You got some fucking cool shit and it's memes. It's memes. Or it's like we just talk about regular things. It's like someone is like, you know what restaurant I like? We're on Signal. Send me something that's going to get us killed. Isn't that the point? Tell me something cool. Tell me you know that where Matthew, what's his name, David Crooks? Be like, I just saw him in a rehab. He's still alive. Fox News just put out an article about Matthew David Crooks. The FBI now, is it Matthew David Crooks? Am I right?
I thought it was Thomas David
Crooks. It's Thomas David Crooks. Whoever Matthew David Crooks, I apologize to you. But I know as much about Matthew as I do about Thomas. I know more about the woman who shot Selena than I do about who shot the president, ex-president of the United States. We know nothing about this guy. He had no digital footprint. But Fox News has run an article now. They're revealing the first photos of his firearm and the IEDs he had in his car trunk and that he flew a drone over the site of the speech a few hours before it started. But again, he has no digital footprint. They haven't told us about his Reddit activity, whether he was on Discord, whether the guy had, you know, he didn't have any social media. But supposedly he had no digital footprint. However, he just Googled things all day. They have all these, I mean, he was online. This is what's funny, right? So there's no social media, but he just Googled. Every day he would Google, like, how far was Oswald from Kennedy? Who should I shoot today? Should I shoot Trump or Biden today? You know, it was one of those things where you go, apparently, somebody's FaceTiming me. I'm doing the podcast. I gotta go. It was Pavel Durov. How crazy is that? How crazy is that as Pavel Durov? But no, all of these Google searches that this kid, he's just, by the way, find them. Go down in the article here. They'll tell you what he searched. He's like, he was obsessed with searching. He had been hyper-focused on Trump's rally in Butler, PA, but he was also searching, you know, he searched the former president's campaign schedule and upcoming appearances in Pennsylvania. And he was searching for 60 searches related to Trump and Biden, including events scheduled to take place in Western PA. So he had no social media, but he was just online searching. He also noted specific searches conducted on July 5th to include when is the DNC convention and when is the RNC in 2024? So supposedly this guy didn't care who he shot. And on July 10th, he searched weather in Butler because he wanted to, I guess, know how the wind would affect the trajectory of the bullet. but he had no other online footprint, and he just apparently started searching these things relatively recently, kind of before the shooting. He was searching all of these search terms, these key terms. It's almost like, and again, we're just having fun. We're just having fun. They almost seem like, sir, and again, we are. It's for entertainment purposes only. Don't put me in jail. It's not fair. It almost seems like these searches you would, if you were trying to create, again, fun, a profile of someone who did this, and they're like, what did they search for? It's like, how to kill the president. How far was Oswald from Kennedy? They seem, and I'm not saying he didn't search these. I'm saying it's just very interesting. Butler, PA rally. Weather in Butler. How do I shoot Trump at Butler rally? How do I act alone and commit an assassination? Like, that's coming. They're going to start releasing those soon. How do I act alone? How do I pull off assassination with zero accomplices? I wish I knew someone in FBI, but I don't. Search that. Search for someone. I don't know, but now we're getting dribbled out this information about, what's his name, Thomas Matthew Crooks? And what I call him, Matthew David Crooks?
Yeah.
What's that called? The when you have two versions of something, it's like the...
like a doppelganger?
The Berenstain Bears and the Berenstain Bears.
Right?
The Mandela effect. It's a little Mandela effect for the end of summer. You stop. Someone will use that video in a few years. They'll be like, it's the Mandela effect. It was actually Matthew David Crooks. You're going to know Tim Dillon's an idiot. It had nothing to do with that. We don't know much about his parents. They're overweight. We saw them walking out of a Costco. Get that up, Matthew. Fuck, Thomas, whatever his name is. Thomas David Crooks' parents walking out of Costco. They had a full wagon, and they were coming out of Costco.
Yep.
It is funny when a few weeks after your son tries to kill the president, you are in Costco. Like, you don't get a friend to do it. You yourself go to Costco. You're just walking around Costco like you've done every week or every couple of weeks or month. Looking at them, it looks like every week. And you're walking around Costco, and your son just tried to kill the president. And you don't say to a friend, like, hey, by the way, could you get something for me at Costco? I kind of don't want to leave the house. But let's see these people walking out with a full wagon from Costco.
Release a statement, and our legal counsel advises us to do so.
He made the brief remarks walking to his car with groceries, his first appearance in public since the attack. His son, 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks, was killed by a sniper, Secret Service bullet, after opening fire at that Trump rally. He hit the former president in the ear.
It's a full wagon they got. What? I mean, that's a full wagon. They got some Gatorade. I don't see what else they got. If I could guess, can I guess?
Orange Crush. There's Orange Crush down here, too.
Yeah, I see that. A little. I'm guessing some microwavable pancakes. The little silver dollar ones. I'm guessing some. You don't want to cook after your son's done this, right? Like, that's, you're not smashing garlic on the... This is a, you know what I mean? Like, this is a processed food run. You're heating stuff up. There's no way you're chopping an onion after your son has just tried to shoot the president in the head. I would imagine you are heating things up. Some mini taquitos and the like. This would be my guess. You go home. You're not concerned about sodium intake at that point, right? Your only kid tries to shoot the president. It's not like you're like, let's get healthy. What's the sodium in this broccoli cheddar soup? I don't think that's the move, but I don't know. Now, is that his wife? Who's that? What Fed FBI agent is taking him to Costco? Was that the deal they made? They go, we'll take you to Costco? Who is that?
I think it's an undescript, non-determined family member. They didn't say.
Do we know if this kid had brothers or sisters?
He might have been an only child.
No one knows anything. It's just odd to me that no one's really... There's nothing... Nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's already gone. I'm just interested. It's a human interest story. At the very least, can you give me that? It's a human interest story. I mean, you'll always remember this summer if you're that father. 2024, the summer of 2024. You're always going to remember that.
That's the summer my son tried to kill the president, and then we went to Costco. We rolled into Costco.
Matthew Crooks, a 52-year-old dad, recently hired a pair of powerhouse attorneys to represent him and his wife.
So it's just him, only child, yeah.
An anonymous loved one, go up. An anonymous loved one of the elder Crooks told the Mail that the FBI still very much has questions about how much he knew about his son's plan to assassinate the former president. Interesting. Well, the Thomas Matthew Crooks' body has been cremated. I believe they didn't do any toxicology. I believe he is gone. Well, we'll just keep you updated on that non-story. I don't know. It's interesting. That's a full wagon. That's a full wagon after your son tried to whack the president. That's all. I get it. Couple of Jimmy Dean. Well, they don't sell. I mean, Costco's just got, is it all Kirkland brand? Or can you get a Jimmy Dean breakfast sandwich there? Can you get a Jimmy Dean sandwich and heat it?
Depending on the season, yeah.
You get a Jimmy Dean sandwich in there. Nice Jimmy Dean maple sausage, egg and cheese. Are you scrambling eggs after your son tried to kill the president? Trying to get them nice and fluffy? I'm curious. If I had one kid and he tried to kill the president and then just get shot in the head by the Secret Service, I don't know if I could, like, whisk the egg. This guy seems kind of fine. I don't know if I'd be at Costco. I don't know if I'd be whisking the egg. Why can't whoever this person is just do it for him? I don't know. I'm asking, where are family values? That's where. Pavel Durov, the leader of the Telegram app, they jailed him, and now Mark Zuckerberg from whatever bomb shelter compound he's built is speaking out, going, we are sorry we censored the Biden laptop story. We are sorry we censored COVID information. We are sorry we kicked everybody off. I am sorry for what I have done. Zuckerberg and a lot of tech people seem to be kind of trying to cozy up to the right. They need nuclear power. They need nuclear energy to run all these data farms. Data is more important than oil. I was talking to a friend about this. Everybody wants to get in good. They also want, you know, they don't want the government going after them for monopolies and da-da-da-da-da. But the nuclear power data center is a big deal. They want the green light from the government so that they, because all the only thing that's valuable now is whatever you've typed into Google and everything you do on your phone and everything about you, your data is now stored in some facility in North Carolina. And it's very hot, generates a lot of heat. Look at how much energy it takes to mine Bitcoin. We think of tech people as like green energy types. We do that for no reason, really. I mean, sure, they're not drilling per se, but their products use as much energy, or they're going to use a lot more energy too as things get bigger and bigger and they store more and more information. So Mark Zuckerberg's out there apologizing and going, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. If you remember, Biden's son had that laptop. He had all these photos and videos of everything he'd ever done. Guns to the hooker's head, amateur porn, whatever. It's all on the laptop. He brings it to some place to get it fixed. Again, at that point, the vice president's son brings it to somewhere. It gets fixed, and then it gets leaked. His laptop ends up, they end up leaking the contents of the laptop. Then, under pressure from the Biden administration and the CIA, which the intelligence agencies all signed something saying that the laptop story was Russian disinformation and should not be reported. So what did big tech companies do? Well, they don't want to share Russian disinformation. They censored the Hunter Biden laptop story. And Mark Zuckerberg is out, and he said that the Biden administration pressured me to censor this story amongst other things. In an explosive letter to the House Judiciary Committee, Rep. Jim Jordan, who's a Republican out of Ohio, Zuckerberg wrote that, quote, senior Biden administration officials, including the White House, repeatedly pressured Meta to censor content related to the coronavirus pandemic in 2021. And that was, the dry run. They want total and absolute control. It was an overreach. I think Zuckerberg now is realizing, now, of course, he's doing that, he has his own motives for doing that. It's just not a moral thing. He has his own agenda. But now he is basically saying, hey, we went too far. We all knew that they went too far. People lost their livelihoods, their ability to communicate. And by the way, they arrest Pavel Durov for what's going on Telegram. Remember the fucking maids on Facebook that were getting sold? They were selling Filipino maids on like Facebook Marketplace. And I think Zuckerberg's like, bro, I don't want to go to fucking jail. They're holding this guy accountable for what's going on Telegram. We were selling maids. Facebook, we did this on the show. I mean, like, Facebook would literally had Filipino maids on Facebook Marketplace, and you could do whatever you wanted with them. And that was on Facebook. So why is Zuckerberg not at fault for that? Why is Zuckerberg not at fault for Filipino maids being sold on Facebook Marketplace back and forth to people? I'm telling you, it was not good. So Zuckerberg's out there trying to get ahead of this. People are doing all kinds of shit on Facebook. Facebook is a problem. And Zuckerberg's, and they arrest this guy, Pavel Durov, because they're trying to get ahead of, they're trying to intimidate these people that own these companies that allow people to communicate. And let's watch a little bit of this.
Pavel Durov, who has been released after several days of questioning. Preliminary charges have also been put to him for allowing the allegations go, alleged criminal activity on his messaging app. They've barred him from leaving France pending further investigation. These are the conditions for his release. He's been put under judicial supervision with the condition of paying a deposit of 5 million euros and a ban from leaving.
Zuckerberg allows my aunt on. Put him in jail. He allows my aunt on to do anything she wants. Put him in jail. Why is he not in jail, by the way? He lets people go out and do whatever they want, okay? He's got maids from the Philippines on Facebook Marketplace. I think they've stopped that now. But why is that guy? Why is he not in jail? So that's why Zuckerberg's coming out and going, hey, we're sorry. We didn't mean to censor. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what's going on. Because he's basically going, hey, if Trump gets in, you know, I want to come clean and let everybody know that I was part of a concerted effort amongst big tech and the government to censor a story that may have helped Trump win. I was part of this. You know, this wasn't, when people talk about elections, they're not only talking about like machines being hacked, they're talking about like the people that control these, platforms that, you know, deliver information to people that are skewing things one way or another. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation. And in retrospect, we shouldn't have demoted the story, he acknowledged. Want a maid, he said. We've got good maids. You can buy a maid on Facebook Marketplace. Do whatever you want to them. They come from the Philippines. Well, that's not good, is it? That's his quote in the Post. He goes, do you want a maid? We got maids for days. That's what Zuck is saying. Zuck is like, we've got maids for days. They're from the Philippines. You can hit them. That's what he's saying. I'm not saying this. Mark Zuckerberg is advertising Filipino maids on Facebook Marketplace and saying one way to ensure that your maid performs at the standard you want is if she fails to complete a task, you can throw things at her. You can push her down the stairs. You can hit her. You know, I mean, that's not good. The 38 weirdest things ever sold on Facebook Marketplace, like people, are actually terrifying. What do we got?
Creepy footstools.
Look at that. Jail. Look at this. Look at this. Highly cursed, crying minion patio heater. Jail for Zuckerberg. Spooky pies. I do like those. By the way, speaking of the government, go to this story. There was a kid in Massachusetts, I think, yeah, selling ice cream to help his autistic brother's hockey team. Okay? Town officials shut down a boy's ice cream stand. Fundraisers and death threats followed. This kid, he's trying to sell ice cream because his brother plays hockey. And they need money. So he sets up this thing. He sets up a stand. He's serving vanilla, shaved chocolate, and Fluffer Nutter. The flavor choice could have been better, but that's neither here nor there. So Danny's family go up. Danny's family received a letter from the Norwood Board of Health ordering it shut down. Town officials had received a complaint and said that the 12-year-old scheme, he's trying to help his brother, by the way. You know what I mean? The 12-year-old scheme violated the Massachusetts Food Code, a state regulation. Because he's selling ice cream. I was surprised and upset, he said of the letter that came August 5th. I don't understand because there are so many lemonade stands and they don't get shut down. Good point. Danny's mom, Nancy Daugherty, had encouraged her son to start the stand as long as he donated half the proceeds to charity. Also was taken back. Somebody complained. That was the most disappointing part for us, was that somebody thought it was necessary to complain about a child stand. So the government shut this down, and now people are threatening to kill them. And I think it's good. I think it's good. Apparently people are afraid to, like, go to their, the government that shut this kid's ice cream stand down is apparently afraid to go to their homes because people are threatening to come to their homes and kill them. And listen, I'm against violence, of course. I've always said that. I've been very consistent about that. I'm not against threatening violence, and I'm not against threatening people that shut down places to get ice cream. Danny was trying to do a good, go back. Danny was trying to do a good thing for his brother's team, and it's not just a regular hockey team. They need a lot more equipment, right? Because I think it's like an autistic team. No, but I think it is.
I think, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think it is. I'm not trying to do a bit. I think this is an autistic hockey team, and they need a lot of stuff. I believe that's to be the case. This is a hockey team, I think, where when you drop the puck, it's every, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a whole thing.
The whole team's on. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, yeah.
The whole team. This is the team features people, players with physical and developmental disabilities. This is a team that needs extra, and it needs a little more. So this kid goes and sets up an ice cream stand, and then they shut it down. He's trying to help his fucking brother and the team out. It's not easy, you know? Now people are threatening the government officials. Keep going. We had to deal with staff who were upset that they were being threatened. People had gone online and found their addresses for simply sending a letter after having reached out to somebody. And I said, look, there's a violation here. It's the first time in recent memory that the town has shut down an ice cream stand, he said, adding that Massachusetts law allows for things like lemonade stand and bake sales, but not homemade ice cream. Why? Why? Now, this is RFK should get involved in this. Where is RFK in this? And I'll tell you why. They want people to buy from the approved ice cream retailers that are chock full of poison. And RFK should get out and defend this child's independent ice cream stand. Because, number one, this is homemade ice cream, okay? It does not have thickeners. It does not have stabilizers. It does not have things like guar gum, you know, and things like that that make ice cream creamy and all this crap. This is homemade ice cream. And this literally, RFK should literally adopt this as like an issue.
you know, and just say, like, he was serving ice cream in the yard and they shut it down because they wanted to give the business to the big ice cream people who are poisoning everybody. That's why many of the children now have breasts.
Which is true.
Which is true. I don't know what to say about that, but I think that he should have his ice cream stand ready. He, by the way, if he wants to sell ice cream, you know, do it in the Hamptons. Do it in the Hamptons. Do it in the Hamptons. Sell some high-priced homemade ice cream in the Hamptons. They'll rat too, but you'll make more money before you eventually get ratted out. You'll get ratted out. A lot of rats. My parents, you know, we never had a lemonade stand. We never did anything. You know, I was on this street called Meadow Lane the other day. It's like it's all these billionaires live on it. And I was driving down it. And then one of the billionaires' kids were out there selling lemonade. They were young kids. And I bet what happened was the little billionaire kid said, hey, I want something. I don't know what kids want these days. A skin on Fortnite, right? Isn't that it? Whatever. They go, we want this. And then the parents go, yeah, but you know what? You got to start earning some money. You don't understand anything about it. And there are these little kids. And they were selling, I think, lemonade and homemade Rice Krispie treats. And that's a way that my parents never taught me about money. Earning money. They didn't start when I was young. They didn't, they missed the teen years. They didn't seem to get into it at any point. But I'm just saying that there are people who choose to teach their kids about money when they are young. And the lemonade stand is like this Americana way. You go out there and you earn some goddamn money. You save your own money. We never had. I got confirmed. When Jewish people have a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, usually they get a lot more money than people that are confirmed. Not always. Yes, always. What am I saying? Now, because a friend of mine got $80,000 for his bar mitzvah. Some people get enough money for their bar mitzvah to buy a house. But I was confirmed. It was a confirmation. I got $1,000 altogether. And you know what my parents did? They stole it. They stole the money from me. And I don't know what they did. But they stole it. They probably paid the light bill, but they stole my cut. They didn't tell me you're going to learn how to manage your money and you're going to learn what you can spend your money on and how to invest your, they stole it immediately. They took the envelope from me and said, a happy confirmation. They stole the money and then they paid their bills. So here's a young kid who's trying to help his brother's disabled hockey team. And somebody rats him out. Some sick fuck in the neighborhood rats this kid out and goes, can you imagine making that call? There's a kid selling ice cream from his fucking lawn. Yeah? Yeah. He doesn't have a permit. That's not legal, is it? I guess not. Well, go kill him. Go get him. I mean, it's crazy. There were no lemonade stands. Every now and then, we would see one in my neighborhood. But I never had one. I didn't like lemonade. My parents were never like, earn your own money. They never said to me, they're like, you should earn your own money. They tried, their way of having me earn my own money was saying, be an actor and get booked in a movie. Which, you know, to their credit, would have been a lot more money. I was unable to do it. It would have been a lot better than a lemonade stand financially. If you look at Amanda Bynes, the long term is probably not ideal. But that was their idea. By the way, every documentary now on Netflix, every single one, from the NSYNC doc to the Nickelodeon doc, every documentary now is like, you know, I know that there still need to be child actors because obviously there are children in stories that people write. Of course, we get it. But what parent now, like at least in the 90s, my parents had like the benefit of not knowing how much everyone got raped. But now, I mean, now to be enthusiastically putting your kid in
But maybe the kids are more confident now. Maybe the kids are like, I'm a bad bitch. You're not going to rape me. I'm trans, motherfucker. Like, maybe the kids are like really owning it and fucking, I don't know. But if you're a parent now and you're putting your child into like acting, it's gotta give you some pause. It's gotta be a little scary. After all, every documentary on Netflix right now is like, remember the show Alf? You're like, yeah, I remember that. And they're like, well, he raped everybody. You go, oh, God. Oh, boy. Remember that show? He raped everybody. Like, every single one. An Open Secret, which is not on Netflix, but Leaving Neverland, Quiet on Set, the NSYNC doc, the Corey Haim thing. I mean, it's all to... And by the way, when I was 9, I was hot, and my parents didn't tell me to pop my pussy. That's how inept they were. They couldn't, they weren't even whoring me out. Do you have me as a young, are you Googling me as a young child?
Yeah, we'll see how hot you are.
Look. Oh. Right? What, are you nuts?
Yeah.
Look at me. Hello? I'd own a beach house. I would own a beach house right now if these directors had ran through. Now, of course, it'd be not great. I'd have green hair, and I'd be voting for Kamala. That was funny. But other than that, it would be, you know, money-wise. But can you imagine now the parents that are putting their kids in acting now? Yeah, there we go. Can you imagine the parents now that are like, my kid's an actor? And you're like, oh, God, really? Yeah. Really? My kid's an actor, I mean, it's like, listen, the school plays one thing. Broadway's even another thing. Like, you know, you go to the play, you watch, you're there, you're like watching your kid on stage. But the idea that your kid like disappears into the labyrinth of hell that is Hollywood now? Because you can't be shocked anymore if something terrible happens, right? I mean, how much information is that? You can't turn around and be like, we had no idea. I can't believe this. An Alaska Airlines pilot who almost crashed the plane on mushrooms speaks out. I called this, by the way, and I'm telling you. Pilots are increasingly unstable. They are going to start trying to kill planes full of people. I'm telling you this because I want to warn you. I call it all. I said Lizzo was going to get thin. She's getting thin now. I've been right about that because the fats turned on her. And when the fatty boom baddies turn on you, and she made a lot of money off the fatty boom baddies, but she goes, fuck it. Now she's getting thin. She's in the gym. She's doing the right thing. So because she goes, fuck it. She goes, fuck it. I've made enough money off these fatty boom baddies. They keep turning on me. Fuck these bitches. In the same way that I call that, I'm going to call this. There are going to be more stories of pilots who are going to try to kill, and I don't want to disturb anyone. They're going to try to kill planes full of people. I'm telling you it's going to happen because they want to make some kind. If we are to believe, which I don't. If we are to believe that Thomas David Crooks.
I don't even know now.
I don't even know. If we are to believe that this guy wanted to kill the president for no other reason than to leave some type of legacy, and that is a thing that is motivating mentally ill people, why would you not, as a pilot with a plane of people, try to do something similar if you were in a weird mental state? I want to be remembered for something, he says, just anything. Let's watch this pilot, and he was accused of trying to crash the plane.
I did something unfathomable to me, something I have to take responsibility for, and I regret.
This morning, Joseph Emerson, the Alaska Airlines pilot, now facing 84 charges after allegedly trying to take down a passenger jet in October, speaking on camera for the first time as he awaits trial.
Sarah and I would like our story to be of some value, right? We think it tells a larger story on pilot health.
It was last October when Emerson was catching a ride in the cockpit jump seat on a flight from Everett, Washington to San Francisco when he says nothing felt real.
There was a feeling of being trapped. Like, am I trapped in this, in this airplane? This is
real. Go back. By the way, this is a pilot. This is how sick a lot of them are. Not all of them. Look how sick this guy is. I want you to watch the smile here on his face when he talks about his attempt to down a jetliner full of people.
Feeling of being trapped. Like, am I trapped in this in this airplane? This is not real.
I mean, stop it. He's the Joker. This is who's in the air is the Joker. This is who's in the... And the wife is so horrified. She sleeps next to this guy. The wife is so horrified because she sleeps next to him. Keep going.
To wake up.
Emerson says he had taken psychedelic mushrooms for the first time 2 days before the flight, thinking they might help with depression, but believes he was still hallucinating during that flight. He stood up and pulled handles in the cockpit.
By the way, I've done mushrooms. I've done LSD. I've done mescaline. I've never thought... One of the realizations I had was not that I should down a jetliner full of people. Now, I'm not saying that that can't happen. There are bad trips. People have all kinds of wacky reactions. I'm not advocating, but it is just funny. He's like, yeah, I took some mushrooms and, you know, I just decided that it was time to kill everyone.
They're meant to shut off the engines in the case of a fire. It didn't work. And if it had, that could have brought the plane down.
There are two red handles in front of my face, thinking that I was going to wake up, thinking this is my way to get out of this non-real reality. I reached up and I grabbed and I pulled the levers.
Did you know what the levers were at the time?
What I thought is, this is gonna wake me up. I know what those levers do in a real airplane, right? And I need to wake up from this. It's 30 seconds of my life. I wish it could change and I can't. Observe the pilots react to the difficult situation that I just handed. And I said, you guys want me off the flight deck? I'm off the flight deck.
He left the cockpit.
That's hilarious. By the way, if you guys want me off the flight deck, like, hey guys, I know I tried to shoot to shut off the engines, and I'm just saying this. I'm a good sport. If you want me to leave, I'll leave. I get it. I did just try to shut the engines off. If you want me out of here, I'll go. I get it. I'm not a nut.
Listen to one of the pilots.
We've got the guy that tried to shut the engines down out of the cockpit.
Emerson says he then tried to grab the handle of an emergency exit door, but a flight attendant stopped.
By the way, I'm telling you right now, I said it years ago. You can go find an old clip of me saying the only way Biden's going to get out is if he comes out in a debate, and is like incoherent. That's the only way they're going to force him out. Otherwise, he's going to keep going. You could find that old clip from years ago. But years ago, I said, and I said the thing that's going to get the hairiest is air travel. The people that I noticed that are the most unstable are people that are working in air travel. I'm telling you, I am all over the place all the time looking at people, and I've never walked into a fruit farm stand and looked at someone who I felt was going through it the way that I felt like someone on an airplane was going through. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's altitude. I fly a lot. Am I the most sane? Probably not, but I'm not at the controls. These people are completely gone, many of them. Look at them. Just take a close-up of this, of these people here. I'm telling you right now, all of the people that work in the airline, and I know this because I speak to them, the minute they land, they just do drugs for 48 hours. They go to a flop house and they do drugs for 48 hours because the job is so terrible. It's so terrible. I want a ginger ale, you know? She's in my seat. You're mediating fights. The people are punching you in the face. As soon as they land, they immediately go to a dope den and get fucked up. I'm telling you, for 48 hours, they have the shakes when they get back into the plane a lot. And I'm including the pilots. Commercial aviation is getting incredibly dangerous. I don't care how many times they want to disguise it with a funny Southwest flight attendant that gets up there and is like, hey, y'all, I'm doing a little stand-up comedy for you. I'm telling you right now, at least every flight you're on, there's at least one person who should not be on that flight, and it's usually a member of the crew. It's usually a member of the crew. I'm telling you, watch out. I look at every cockpit now. Every cockpit, I try to look at the pilot and make a split-second decision if I'm going to get off the plane. I'm not kidding. I'm trying to make a split. I look at it and go, all right. I'm telling you, let's finish up with this guy, but I'm telling you right now, you need to care for yourself and your family, and you need to start looking at these pilots and observing them before they get on the plane. They're trying to kill you. I'm not kidding. It's not a bit. It's not a bit. You have to observe them if you can before they get on the plane. Get to the airport early. Get to the airport early and try to observe the pilots. Are they drunk? Do they seem like they're going through something?
Put my hand on the lever. I didn't operate the lever. She put her hand on mine. And I think around that period is when I said, I don't understand what's real. I need you to tough cuff me.
In the air, he texted his wife.
You text me, I've made a big mistake.
And what were you thinking at that point?
I was like, what in the hell is he talking about? And I immediately got on flight aware because that's how I can track him. And I saw that the plane was diverted. And I think I texted him back, is this because of you?
Emerson says he'd been struggling with some form of depression ever since his best friend Scott suddenly passed away, but didn't turn to a psychiatrist for medication, worrying a formal diagnosis could end his career. He instead turned to alcohol and eventually those psychedelic mushrooms in October.
Coming into this, I hadn't really been sleeping a lot the night that I took the magic mushrooms, and I did not sleep that night. And so this cumulative sleep deficit, I believe, may have also impacted just my perception of what was going on.
Emerson, now speaking about it all in the new documentary, The New York Times presents Lie to Fly on FX, as he and his wife focus on increasing awareness about mental health in the cockpit.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on a minute. Hold the phone for 1 minute right now. This guy shuts the engines off mid-flight, and now this is his brand? This guy, I mean, what? This guy should, like, be barred from going near a plane for the rest of his life. This guy who tried to kill everyone mid-flight, him and his wife are now using this as their brand? They're going out and going, my husband tried to kill a bunch of people in midair. No one knows better about mental health than him. Pilot accused of trying to crash planes speaks out. The guy was trying to kill people. And now he's become the spokesman for mental health.
Quiet skies.
Keep quiet skies. I want to hear a little bit more about this. This is insane.
Right now, there's a perception out there that if you raise your hand and say something's not right, there's a very real possibility that you don't fly again.
At least one doctor saying at an NTSB summit in December, it's time to modernize the mental health regulations for pilots.
Who would you rather fly with, a pilot who's depressed or a pilot who's depressed on medication? And that's what it comes down to.
I think if pilots and controllers.
I mean, it's like, who would you rather fly with, a schizophrenic or a schizophrenic who's had a good breakfast? Who would you? I mean, what? Who would you rather fly with? A guy with multiple personality disorder or a guy that's well-rested and has multiple personality disorder? Who would you rather fly? I would rather fly with someone who's not depressed and has passed an evaluation, mental health. Sorry, don't want to be cruel. There's a lot of things depressed people could do, like comedy, for instance. Get on stage and tell a couple of funnies. I don't want you in the cockpit of a fucking plane. I don't think the good idea here, what we've learned from this, is not to get more depressed people in the cockpit of a plane, please. Who would you rather fly with? A schizophrenic who's lying about it or someone who's honest and says, I'm fucked up? Can you imagine that? What is this? No one wants to do this job. They're so desperate, I guess, for pilots that they're like, so what? He's depressed, but he's medicated. You know, I'm all for people taking medication for depression and other ailments, but I do believe, to be honest with you, there are certain jobs where the psych evaluation should be more rigorous. I apologize. There was that, play the German wings as they go, play the screams as they go into the mountain, please.
Lufthansa?
Play the screams as they go into the mountain on German wings. They're trying to knock, they're trying to break down the cockpit door. They're trying to break down the cockpit door. And the pilot, who has mental issues, here we go.
Hold on.
Yeah, play it. Play it.
The captain screaming, for God's sake, open the door. Passengers are also heard screaming. 5 minutes before impact, more bangs can be heard, metallic noises, as if someone was trying to knock the door down. 90 seconds later, another alarm goes off, warning, terrain, pull up. The captain again screams, open the damn door. 2 minutes before impact, the paper reports, Lubitz can be heard breathing, the plane now only 13,000 feet from the ground. 10:40 a.m., investigators believe they hear the plane's right wing scrape a mountaintop, then screams once more from the 149 on board. Lubitz apparently stays silent.
Well, there you have it. And that's one of the reasons that I am a little bit of a tight ass when it comes to the mental health of pilots. Sorry. American Markle. She should change her name to that. American Markle. Meghan Markle, our friend of the show. Friend of the show, Meghan Markle, by the way, they're going back to Britain. I don't know if you know that, but they're going back to the racist hellscape they left where the press is trying to kill them all the time. They're going back, and their conditions for going back are that they don't have to live with Harry's relatives. They're given a brand new house, and they get palace security at that brand new house. But if you remember, the fraudulent claim that Markle and her husband made, Prince Harry, was that the press would not allow them to live and was creating dangerous situations for them and their children, which is, of course, a complete lie. However, what happens with Markle, she comes to America with her husband. They do this dumb thing on Spotify. They lose a lot of money. They have this thing with Netflix. Nobody watches. They realize they are not going to be received as heroes in this country. They were for like a few weeks. They did a couple of interviews. But now they're just L.A. scum like everybody else. They're trying to get into parties. She's sending texts everywhere, trying to have meetings with C-list celebrities. She launches a jam company that loses 18 staffers, American Orchard Riviera. They sent out 50 jars of jam, but 20 people have quit, okay? And it's struggling to find a CEO. Meghan Markle's jam company is struggling to find the CEO. May I suggest the pilot who tried to kill everyone on that flight? Can I suggest him? Can you imagine being the CEO of the Duchess of Sussex's fake jam company? I'm the CEO of the actress from Suits and the Duchess of Sussex, whatever she calls herself. The jam, her fake jam company that she opened up in America. That's what I do. I do the Markle teased the brand in March. She said, look, it's coming. She set up an Instagram for it. However, nothing is going on, of course. And now they are going back to the UK. They're going back to the UK where everyone was trying to kill them. This is a good lesson for people, I think. And she has actually proven incredibly valuable because this is now taught everybody a big lesson about she is the symbol of the era. Meghan Markle is a symbol of that era. That was a very specific time in American history and world history where Meghan Markle became the first slightly kind of maybe a little bit black queen, the princess of England, and suffered greatly for that because apparently the British royal family is slightly racist. Who knew? You know, history books. But she was taken off guard by that. And apparently the press have quite an interest in the lives of royals. And she didn't know that either. She didn't know that she'd be expected to share pictures of her children, the princes, you know. And she then left in a huff and went to the United States of America to live in a mansion in Santa Barbara and sell jam at Target, although they can't get a company together. If you could take the madness of that era of American history and tell one story, and only one story, to describe the merging of self-interest with supposed racial consciousness and social justice. If there was only one story to tell to expose the hypocrisy and madness of that era, it would be Meghan Markle. There needs not be any other stories told about that time. You don't need them. She is it. She was an actress on the show Suits. She became the Duchess of Sussex and married a prince and then went crazy and dragged him out of the country to go live in a mansion in America and sell jam. Santa Barbara, by the way, is a very diverse community, as we all know. Santa Barbara, Montecito, where she lives. That is the one story. And now we'll be going back to this country that she says is unsafe for her and her children. She'll be going back. And Megan, you know, so they'll never go stay with his family again, but they want a new house. She goes, listen, give me a new house. And give me the security that you all have and give me a new house. And then she is ready to go. And it's why it's been my favorite story. It's been my favorite thing to follow. Because I like stories that reduce the need to tell other stories. One story can explain it all. This is the one that explains it all. She comes back here. She goes, what do I really want to do? What do I really want to do? She does all the bullshit, you know. She's dancing in Africa with people with cleft lips and all that. You know, she does all the photo ops. But when she gets back to America, she doesn't go set up a clinic for people. She wants to sling jam to white pigs in Target, and that's the goal. And then she hires a bunch of people, and they all quit, probably because there's nothing for them to do because the company's not real. She set up a fake company. This is what every rich bitch does. They have a fake company. Markle added, I spend a lot of time just Googling, looking for brands. When people are online looking for things or reading things, I'm trying to find new great designers, especially in different territories. Megan added, times where I know there is a global spotlight and attention will be given to each detail of what I may or may not be wearing. Then I support designers that I have really great friendships with and smaller up-and-coming brands that haven't gotten the attention they should be getting. That's one of the most powerful things I'm able to do, and that's simply wearing like an earring. So that's part of her activism, is wearing an earring. She's telling you. She goes, one of the most powerful things I'm able to do is wear an earring. This is one of the things I'm really able to do is to wear an earring. It's one of my most, this is one of my most powerful things I'm able to do is to wear a dress or an earring. And now there's 18 morons. Imagine those people that went to go work for her company and then are like, I got to get at, like they're all talking to each other. They go, hey man, we think this company's fake. Guy's like, no. The numbers don't lie, and they have at least 20 members of staff quitting on them. It tells its own story. It's unprecedented, even for a startup. The brutal reality is Harry and Meghan are the toughest of taskmasters. They're very demanding and difficult to work for, and that's put a lot of people's backs up. No way! You don't say. This woman is mean to the employees, to the staff. She sounds like a royal to me. You know, by the way, that when she, look at those eyes. You know that when she was over there, she was probably the most abusive to the royal staff. She was like Joffrey in Game of Thrones, you know, tying the maid to the bedpost for the lashings. And all of these people that went to go work for her because they believe the narrative that they were sold, that she's some like, you know, this egalitarian, you know, I'm breaking boundaries and everything. And then they go work for a jam company and, you know, like an interaction probably went like this. She goes, hi, so I'm seeing that you went out for a lunch, to get a lunch. And they were like, yeah, well, I was picking something up for you and I figured I would just grab some. Okay.
No, that's great. I want to make sure that you log the time, even when you were running my errand, there was personal time. So I want to make sure that you log the personal time during the running of my errand. Oh, yeah, it was probably like 5 minutes. I just ran into this salad. Sure. Well, as you can understand, even if it's just 5 minutes, what we really want to do here is we really want to get into good habits. And good habits are transparency. And even if it's 5 minutes of grabbing a salad, I just want you to log that as personal time. Okay? I guarantee it was a lot of that. It was a lot of that stuff. It was a lot of that. Oh, I feel so sorry about your mother, and I understand that. It's very tough. You know, loss affects us all in different ways, but I need you to be in the office in an hour. Yeah. Okay. Well, we actually have an emergency. Gwyneth Paltrow has not received her jam, and I sent jam to her, and it's showing that it's returned unopened. And I'm thinking it's because we actually either don't have the right address or it went to the gatehouse and then it got sent back because it didn't go through a security screening. All Gwyneth's packages have to go through a security screening. And I'm wondering when you can come in and find where Gwyneth Paltrow's jam is. No, I understand your mother had a stroke. I understand people have strokes. That's what happens in life. They have strokes. Their brain goes, it's a stroke. We get it. I want you to find Zoe Saldana's jam that was delivered to her. And if you don't have it, I just don't want you coming back to the office. I don't want you coming back to the office. I want you to leave your mother's funeral right now and personally deliver Kesha her jam. Personally hand it to Kesha, because this is why I left the royal family, to do this. Well, at least she's going back. We took a little break from politics this episode because there's not much going on. The debates are obviously going to be massively important. I don't think anything's going to mean more than these debates. These are probably the most important debates, I think, in any election of recent memory. And I think what we're going to have is, this is funny. This is Carrie Lake at a Trump rally. It says, rap ASAP, Colton, please get off stage. Please get off stage. Trump waiting. That's hilarious. Trump's like, get off stage. He's the headliner.
Mm-hmm.
He's the fucking headliner.
7 minutes over.
7 minutes over. Oh, Carrie. The debates will be incredibly important. Where is the first debate? Where's it going to be?
I know Dana Bash is hosting it.
She's like always hosting them.
She's not great.
No, she's kind of boring.
Atlanta.
Okay, interesting.
Whoa.
Atlanta.
Well, that's good.
Should we go?
Yeah, why not?
When is it?
Hold on.
I wonder if I can get a press pass and set up like a little booth.
Totally.
I probably could, right?
Yeah, you would just be, we'd just submit as a media organization.
Well, good. Try to find that out. That might be fun to go get a little booth.
September 10th.
Sell ice cream, homemade ice cream outside the debate until we get caught.
Just get the kid from Massachusetts.
September 10th.
Oh, Philadelphia. Just kidding. Even closer. Great.
Try to see if we can get there.
Okay.
That might be fun. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.